morning light flickers through the ever-shifting enchanted window, which now shows a stormy ocean horizon. Tilly and Marrow both awaken to find Sheldon's bed empty once again. Welcome back, everybody, to Love, Death, and Dice! That's right, this is the Magical College Campaign, and I will be your Dungeon Master for the night, Turk. Say hello, lads.
Hello, lads.
Good to see you guys. Quickly now, let's reintroduce yourselves around in the circle, just so everybody knows who you're playing. And tonight, we're actually going to start with Ray.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray, your backstage bard. Tonight, I'll be playing Scoutmaster Wildthorn, and in this campaign, Professor Scoutmaster Wildthorn. A druid magician person magic that is teaching at a school with fake-ish credentials.
I think by now they should have gotten that. Hopefully.
Yeah, in case you didn't know, I'm a fraud!
Proteus.
Hello there. I'm Proteus, and I'm playing Tilly Lockwood, a wizard in training, focusing on chaos magic.
And hello, I'm playing Merrill Wilson, live in the flesh. He's trying to really study a lot about more clerical and life magic.
Ooh, very good, very good. Okay, so as our story begins today, it's been about 2 weeks since your class with Wildthorn. The morning light does flicker in as you, Marrow, and Tilly both awaken. And you do look to the bed to your side to see that Sheldon is once again gone and his bed is empty. And as you guys awaken, I want both of you guys to roll me some dice. And we're going to call this a brains roll. Difficulty of 8.
I got a 4.
Okay, well, Marrow got an 8. Congratulations, Meryl. So as you look around the room, see, where's Sheldon? Already gone. You know, you're half awake and you're looking around and you can see that Sheldon's belongings are half packed. There's one boot just out in the center of the room and his bag is open. And one thing I'll give you with your success is that there is a scroll that's open, half written, but it's crossed out like over and over and it's sitting on his bed.
I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna tell Fire Ferret to go and catch, bring the note to me. Ooh. And then I want to try and read in between the scribbles.
I'm going to interrupt you. As your fire ferret goes over to get it, it starts growling and its flames are like, briefly, they're like flickering off of its back and it's growling under the bed, towards under the bed.
Towards under my bed or Sheldon's bed?
Sheldon's bed.
Oh, God. Oh, like monsters under the bed. Can I like try to hang off the side of my bed and look underneath Sheldon's bed?
Sure, but I'm going to need you to make me a brains roll. Difficulty of 10.
Brains.
You have a 19. A D20 in brains? Good lord.
Are we using stats or magic? That's what I asked.
Stat, yeah. It's not a magic roll. It's a stat roll.
Yeah.
So that's, god damn, what the fuck? Marrow's a smart guy. Brains, impressive. All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, that makes complete sense.
No, bronze, impressive. Superb is brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you look under your bed and across and under his bed and you can see what looks to be a strange glowing, like pulsing, coming from underneath his bed.
Sheldon, what did we tell you about glowing underneath the bed? It freaks everybody out.
No response.
No.
At this point, because I know we normally can't see Sheldon, I am going to get out of my little nest. I'm used to the fact that we can't see Sheldon, so I'm going to approach the bed. After I get out of my little nest, and I'm going to say, Sheldon, darling, are you there? And I'm going to peer underneath the bed. Like, I'm going to walk straight up to it to see if I can see what this glowing's all about.
Nice. So as you peer under the bed, you can see that there's a strange symbol that's drawn underneath his bed. It's like a circle with jagged lines. And as you peer underneath it, it starts, the lines kind of pulse a little bit. And Marrow's ferret, it sniffs it and it hisses. And then it runs and it hides.
What was your ferret's name again?
I had it written down. And when it's no longer written down anymore because I forgot to save it. So we've just called it Fire Ferret.
All right, little Fire Ferret. It's okay, darling. It's okay. And at this point, I'm going to pick up the note off the top of the bed.
Nice.
And hold it up to the light to see if we can see anything.
Ooh.
Underneath the scribbles.
So you're just going to try to read it. I want you to make me a magic roll. And you can kind of tell me what kind of magic you're using to make this your check.
Magic? All right. I was going to hold it up to the light. That's
magical scroll.
Magical scroll. All right. Let's see. I think that I'd use my grit.
Okay. But it is going to be a difficulty of 14.
Oh, lovely. All right. Ooh. Well, let's see what happens. I got a fit. Oh, what? Good Lord. How many dice am I rolling? 26.
Jeez, so you exploded. You got a 12, you exploded, so you rolled an 8, and then you got an extra 3, so a 26. So you read this thing, see here, and there are mentions in this scroll about a furnace and something about darkness. And Sheldon was trying to figure out a way to make himself even more invisible, and he was trying to use something to do with a furnace, but it's all kind of scribbled out and weird.
Oh, darling, the only thing that a furnace will do to make you invisible is turn you into a charred corpse. Oh, goodness. All right, well, I'm going to ask politely of the bed. Could you move to the side, darling? Could you?
Oh, yeah,
could you move to the side?
Yeah, sure. And the bed grumbles and it walks over to the side. But through the noise of the bed scooting across the ground, through that you almost hear like a giggle, but you don't know where it came from.
Oh, lovely. Sheldon, did you succeed? Is that what you're trying to get at, that you succeeded?
And there's another laugh.
I think you. All right. So yes, but as the bed moves, can I now clearly see the runic symbols on the floor?
Yes, yes. Well, it looks like a circle with like 6 triangles inside.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Marrow, will you make me a brains roll? Difficulty of 4?
A magical brains roll or a stat brains?
Just stat brains roll.
The 6.
Okay.
Let's do.
You see this symbol along with Tilly, and you remember whenever you came to the school, the black ichor that formed your entrance letter that went into your wrist, it was the same symbol. And you look at your wrist, and it's on your arm.
Maybe you should stand back, Tilly. This might get a little messy. Mm. Can I imbue magicalness properties into my, like, hand and wrist and then touch the runic symbol on the ground?
Sure. But you gotta tell me, like, what kind of magic you're gonna cast.
Remember what Wildthorn said, Professor Wildthorn said yesterday. Think about exactly what you're trying to achieve through the magic.
But what are we trying to achieve, Tilly? Are we trying to find Sheldon, or are we trying to understand what the runic symbol on the floor means?
Let's start with one and go to the other. First off,
so there's another faint giggle.
Sheldon, darling, how are we ever supposed to get along if you're playing weird little tricks on us?
And your wand in your pocket vibrates, Tilly, just reminding you that it's there.
I don't like this.
It doesn't actually vibrate, but that's just me, the dungeon master, being like, hey, use some magic, dog. We're playing a magic game.
Do I remember where I put my wand since the last episode? No.
Would it be brains?
Oh, man, if only there was a teacher somewhere that might be able to provide instruction and or provide boosts to your rolls magically. Mm-hmm. Oh, if only you had a wand in which to reach out to them and maybe offer some assistance. If only such things were possible.
Yes, but we're not Tattletales or Nox.
Good try, Mero. Adversity token. Okay, while you guys are struggling, then how about we cut over to Professor Scoutmaster Wildthorn. Now, we cut over to you, Professor, as you awaken in your quarters. Things are going well. The first thing you awaken to is right on your nightstand is a scroll waiting for you. It's not official. It doesn't have the school's official bum branding on it. But you open it up and read it. And written in green crayon and covered in burn marks, it says, "Follow the fire, thorny boy. Rules are for rocks. And you are a flame, Headmaster B."
Good old Headmaster B really knows how to hit me where I live. So,
is he naked outside the door again?
I know what I have to do. He said to do it. So, I mean, it is... You know, we swore we weren't going to go back to those days, but you know what? It's time. So,
you swore, but no, you just got to keep going back, Thorn. You just got to keep going back.
Oh, green flame.
flame, guide me this morning.
Oh God, Brimstone gave it to me for saving his granddaughter. That's right. Told me to special occasion. So,
all right, what magic are you casting here?
So, basically, the equivalent of whatever the liquid luck would be. Oh. Because I'm basically trying to stone myself and like drug my way to this by some magical means.
Okay. How long are you trying to get this effect to last for?
So like,
you know what? A good dab like can last like, I mean, a good dab like we're just maybe like 8 to 10 hours probably.
Right. I only ask because longer the effect lasting, the higher the check's gonna be.
Sure, of course.
Are you trying to just see where you need to be right now?
I think, like, again, he said follow the flame, so to me this is definitely like something Scoutmaster would normally do in order to like meditate or like get in touch with nature. This is their druid craft, if you will. Okay. So definitely just like really harnessing and trying to get into, like, you know, sometimes that high where you feel like you're a part of everything.
Okay. So like flight as guidance.
Yeah, a little bit.
Label it.
Huge magic, just boom.
Make me a charm roll. If you're trying to go 4 hours, we're going to call it a difficulty of, I would say, well, it's, you never cast this before, so at a baseline, I'm going to say it's difficulty of 15, and then plus one for every hour. So if you're trying to go for 4 hours, we can give you a 19 DC check here.
Let's go. I have 7 adversity tokens.
All right. Is it time to spin them all to get your thing? You can get up to 18. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Let's just make it to 15. I'll just do 4 to hit the base 4 hours.
Okay. Well, I...
Oh, wait. So it was 15.
Mm. But what we could do is you could spend all 7 to get a base of 3 hours.
Sure. Why not? This is going to help us.
All right. You feel a sense of euphoria. You feel like you're doing the right thing. The headmaster's a good guy. And even though everything he touches is covered in some strange Cheeto dust, you believe that he is leading you somewhere. And so as you exhale, you can almost see this small orange flame guiding you somewhere, like a line on the ground. And you stand up from your desk and follow it out your door. And as soon as you do...
Hey, Carl. Good to see you, man. Morning.
The owl, right. He's like, hey,
you need anything?
I think I'm good for a little bit. Probably in an hour, though, I'm going to really need some, like, I don't know.
And as you turn your head and there's a jump scare, like a loud in your head, because Professor Hexworth is standing right in front of you.
Oh, hey, good morning, Mama. How you doing?
She says,
you ever just like you ever just have that moment where you're incredibly stoned and your parents call you?
Exactly. That's what we're talking about right here. She says, your wandless nonsense is spreading, Thorn. You're sowing chaos.
How dare you talk about my wand? We haven't even had dinner together yet.
You must... did I say at the beginning of this episode, it's been about 2 weeks? Did I say that?
No, not at all.
No. Sure did. Okay, well, it's been about 2 weeks.
There we go. Now it's like, why did he just go straight from one class to fucking doing dark magic in the bedroom at night? Like, that's such a huge jump for you, Sheldon.
Okay, so...
I'm gonna cut this back
at the beginning. And we're back.
I've been corrupting them for a while. Okay, now things make more sense. Sheldon, I did this to you. Of course I did. All right, so... Good morning, Mama. Hello. Hi.
Your wandless nonsense is spreading, Professor Thorne. You're sowing chaos amongst the students.
How dare you talk about my wand in private? We have not even gone on a first date.
You must teach the curriculum or you will be dismissed.
Yeah, that's cool. What's really funny about that is that the headmaster has got me actually doing something at this moment. So actually, I don't have time for you right now. But maybe we can schedule time later, you know, during my office hours.
Charm roll. Difficulty 12. Nice.
Charm?
Yeah. 24. She goes, okay, well, then you better hop to it. You must listen to the headmaster. And you're like, thank you. and you follow.
I literally, like, you can hate me, but I'm literally doing, like, things for people higher than you, so kind of go jump off a broomstick.
You stumble off. Also, I want you to keep role-playing on this Zen Thorn right now. You're, like, super Zen mode. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And you follow this.
Connected.
This flame, and it goes all the way through all of the dorms and goes up this spiral staircase, and at the very top, you know that once you get to it, you have to tap your wand on it 6 times, and the spiral staircase opens, and it leads you all the way around and back down, and then it's leading you somewhere crazy, and then you remember, oh yeah.
Are there owls? There's owls, like, throughout the castle, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I'd like to imagine I turn around at one point and realize I've just been muttering about that freaking, like, tortilla cheese thing, and I got, like, a row of quesadillas following me for no reason.
That's funny. Leaving evidence behind.
It's like, oh.
But more importantly, you remember that the dorms of the new students never seems to stay in one place. And eventually, you find it. And this time, it's in a large oak tree that has just spiral staircases going up it. So you go all the way up this oak tree to the dorms. And eventually, you make it to our other two players' dorm. And you're at the dorm.
Yes, hi. Good morning, students. Hello. It is, unfortunately, that time of the week where I have to inspect the dorms to make sure y'all aren't doing anything horrible. So if you would please, hello, good morning. Time to wake up.
They haven't opened the door, have they?
No.
No, I'm being respectful, of course, and knocking first.
Oh, wonderful. Professor, if you just give us a moment. Sheldon, I swear to God, if you don't reappear this second, we're going to get in so much trouble because we've lost you. And I'm going.
I love that.
And I'm going to walk to. I'm going to open up the door just to crack and be like, "Hello, hello, Professor."
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
What would I need to roll to immediately suss that this student is trying to hide something very badly?
Brains, yeah.
Brains,
yeah. Brains cool. Is basically insight.
Would it be brains to brains? Are we dueling brains?
If you want sure, to, because they only got a 7.
You got a 7. Okay.
Stop asking me if I should allow Mara Wilson to use an adversity token. I don't care. Where are my brains? Ah, oh, there they are. That's a natural one. I'm Tilly's base. Tilly's obviously in a panic of like.
Miss Lockwood.
Yes, Professor, how are you?
Yes, wonderful. I think maybe I should come in and start this inspection right away before anyone else probably comes behind me and looks. Right? In order to make sure that no one else, Professor Hexworth's been on my ass this morning. Let me in the room, please.
Oh, yes, of course, Professor. Come on in. Nothing.
Hello, good morning. Yes,
totally
good.
Wrong.
Yes, good. All the other students, you go to class. Y'all are just the best of the future. My God. Slam the door. So how are y'all doing?
Where you clearly see me messing with a magical dark rune with my own trine magic.
Oh, yeah. So I want to say, Meryl, you're just like rubbing all over it. And as soon as you touch it, it sparks and pulses, but does nothing. And you're just like trying to get it to do something. And it's just not working.
Sheldon seems to have disappeared, but also there's giggling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Question. Is the symbol green?
No.
Yes. You said it was.
Did I say green?
Yes, you did. Yes.
There's green triangles, flames, green flames. That was why I was doing the green flame thing. I thought that was all why it was tied together.
I didn't say shit about green.
What was it supposed to be
going? Editing Turkey,
about the green triangles.
Editing Turkey, you'll know what the fuck I said. Can see what looks to be a strange glowing, like pulsing, coming from underneath his bed. Small orange flame guiding you somewhere, like a line on the ground.
You too. What do we know?
Note on the bed that says something about becoming more invisible using a furnace. Glowing under the bed, triangles in a circle, and faint giggling.
I think there's one more fact you left out. I think there's one more little fact that we're missing here, Miss Lockwood.
Is it Sheldon?
If I understand Mr. Sheldon's inclinations here, I believe that what we are seeing is a success. guess at one's deeper desire. I don't know if this is necessarily a bad thing for Sheldon.
At this point, but you step into the room, Thorn. You're getting a better look, and you just see this boot just sitting on the floor. It's untied, and you look up at the roof, and as a elder professor, you see like almost some magic up there, right above where the boot is. It's like, like a little bit of pulsing magic.
All right. So I've got three here. And if you put them like this, weaponize your magic. I call this the Wolverine method.
Whoa.
But you think that's trademark anywhere?
No, not at all. Anywhere. No one has even thought of this. In the 300 years I've been alive, no one has thought to put three wands in between their fingers like this and cast a spell and call it the Wolverine. There's no way.
Aren't Wolverines notably like small rodent-like creatures?
Yes. In my head, they're ferocious animals with like giant claws that can just fuck shit up. Listen, I think y'all figured it out by now. I'm just kind of winging this shit, so trust me on this, okay?
Okay.
You're not a real professor, Professor Scoutmaster Thorn?
No! What the... Tilly, I thought you told him like 2 weeks ago. Like, after the first class.
Yes, and yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, Marrow, I'm... For someone as smart as you are, listen, everything is made up. That's the whole point that I've been making this entire time I've been teaching you. None of this shit matters. It's gonna work out for you. Whatever.
Tell me what happened to Sheldon.
Sheldon wanted to be more invisible. He was really digging into that. Most likely, he cast a spell dealing with light, which is why there's a furnace, which is why he's hiding in the shadows on the ceiling. Sheldon.
You want to cast a spell, Thorn?
Sure. I'm just going to, like, do the most powerful light spell that I can possibly think of. Just the most basic light spell, but I'm amplifying it with all the different wands.
Nice. I imagine it like a revelio. You know what I mean? Like, reveal hidden.
A little bit.
Make me a magic check, difficulty 10. And it's just light. You can call it a charm check, so you can take half.
Ooh.
Oh, well, it's 16.
Okay.
So it's like a bloody spotlight.
You
Yeah, it's like extend, you know those like little flashlights that are
I imagine too it's bright? Like three Lumo spells. There's like three little flashlights that come off of your three little wands, like whoa, and it just like erases this veil of magic. And as it does, you can see it erasing, and it erases all the way over to the wall where this like door appears in the wall. And it's not really like a door, it's almost like a like the wall is cracked. And there's like a hole that's like a door handle. It's like a secret entryway in your room. And of course, this revelio, just there was a whole veil over the whole room and it just all disappears. But it seems like the boot got through somewhere.
Could I suss out if this was Sheldon's doing or was this something that was in the room before this?
You definitely think this is new.
Okay. Didn't know if Hexworth was up to some bullshit. So,
through the door?
All right. Well, put those away now. I hate doing that. So, door. All right. Who wants to go knock?
I'll do it. That's fine.
Nice. You get closer to the door, and the giggling is a little bit louder now. And as you get closer, you realize it's not all giggles. It's almost like a cry giggle, like a sad laugh or like a scared laugh. And you...
Oh, darling.
Put your finger in the handle of the door.
Yeah, I would like to at least try to open it before first.
Yeah, and you just swing it open, and you can see on the inside, there's like boards, like the making of the wall. Whoops. Like the making of the wall.
Ghosts.
And yeah, you're just like inside the wall now. And there's like, you know, insulation and stuff and like castle walls. And you listen and you can hear to the right.
Sheldon, Sheldon, darling.
You call out and he's like, no.
No what?
No, I must stay hidden.
Why?
Those voices.
What voices, Sheldon?
Those in my dreams. Flickering, flickering place. A furnace.
A furnace?
Something deep.
You know, deep, Professor deep Scoutmaster is here. You can come. Out, I assure you, they can keep us safe.
A professor, he pokes his head out like from behind some 2x4s, and you can see he's been in there like all night. He's like dirty and like covered in insulation, and he's like, I don't know. He starts crawling out, and he's like, I don't even really know how I got in here. And he steps out the door.
I am so proud of you. Like, hold on, just one second. Come out of the wall. Y'all get him some food and water. I'll be right back, okay? And I like disappear for 2 seconds.
Owl. Could we get some hot chocolate and a warm, like, apple and cinnamon porridge?
Of course. It appears on the table.
Thank you. And I'd like to guide Sheldon out of the little cupboard wall hole over to the table and sit him down.
Imagine, like, put a blanket on his back, like, one of those, like, tinfoil, like, he just got out of it, like, he's scraped up and cut up.
Sheldon's looking a little worse for wear. I was going to give him a healing potion, but do you think it might be work a little better if we inserted it rectally?
Like, I have my books in hand. I was about to say something, but I put them down. I'm like, okay, hold up. So, like
butt chugging, I think the children call it.
Okay, so normal digestion.
No, that thank
does,
you.
Normal digestion. Hold on, Sheldon. So normal digestion, right?
It's all like suffering. Like, say, you're like, hold on. He's like, oh.
Hold on, Sheldon. This is a student asked a question, Sheldon. I'm inclined to answer it. So this is a magical item, and so we have to then have to have the question: is it magical the moment it enters your body, or is it the moment it comes in contact with your body? Because there are certain adventurers that will actually take a magic potion. In a moment of dire strait, they'll throw it at another party member and it will shatter and they'll heal from it. So from there, we have to assume it's based on contact, and the size of the potion is based on the amount one can heal from it. Now, again, it's not guaranteed, and these things kind of are variables. It's basically, it doesn't matter as long as it comes in contact with the person. So since it's magical in nature, no. Butt chugging would not help in this instant. However, if it was a poison or we were trying to get them inebriated, yes.
Thank you, Professor. Wonderful. So I'm just going to hand Sheldon the healing potion off to the side.
Nice. He's like, thank you.
All right. That is Marrow, and that is Tilly, and up Sheldon. All right. Oh, man. So I've started this new teaching method where I'm marking your progress in what I'm calling an adventure, like an adventure book, like a scout book, to kind of mark your progress. Sheldon, first of all, for casting, even unintentionally, such a very strong protection spell to hide you from your nightmares, you get a trailblazer badge.
Oh my goodness. And he takes it, he holds it, he's got the blanket on, he's like, oh.
That's right, students. I give out badges whenever you do something really, really cool. And this was really, really cool. Scary. Definitely thought we lost Sheldon for a little bit to the dark forces of the shadow dimension, but...
And he, very you say that magic. He looks over, he sees his bed has moved, he sees the thing on the floor, and he sees the, like, you know, pulsing of it, and he goes, he points at it, he's like, I didn't do that.
Oh, I believe that's actually a very strong...
Like you, you're going to walk over to it, look at it, you can inspect it, and I want you to make me a magic check on it. It can be a brains magic check if you want to.
Not the best at brains, but we'll try.
Yeah, okay, difficulty is 6.
Seven.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. You go over to it and you inspect it. Now, as a professor, you've seen a lot of this stuff the past little while. And as you're looking at the floor, you see the symbol. And as you hover your hand over it, it pulses a little bit more. And what you realize is that in his sleep, Sheldon cast protection magic over this symbol to stop it from affecting him. And it did it so strongly that it actually pushed him away and hid him in this room.
Yes. So original point still stands. Great protection magic. This is terrifying. Okay, what is this? What are we dealing with here?
How the circle with the triangles, terrifying. And this is why
I'm going to give a sideways glance at Marrow. Just like...
Dang it. Well, I didn't make it. I was asleep.
But do you know what it is?
I have no idea. Everybody has, like, triangle tattoos around here somewhere.
Is this the same symbol that happened with me when I got pulled in?
Marrow's different.
But mine didn't have that.
Have I been around Marrow long enough to recognize their wrists and, I guess, notice the obvious things that are out in the open?
Marrow, have you kept it hidden at all?
No, not really.
So then I'd say yes. Okay,
cool. So I'm going to pull out Mr. Wilson's book. It's a bit thicker than the others. There's more to write.
Like, that's again, a good
like,
thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I follow the pattern of like just the last few weeks of class seems to definitely be. Again, everyone's doing great. I want everyone to know that. No one's in trouble here. First of all, I'm very happy with all of your progress. As a professor, well done. Good marks all around.
You said you weren't a professor, though.
Okay. Sometimes in life, you can try to plan for everything. You can be as methodical and as to the book as possible. But guess what? Life is messy and things just randomly happen and it's not fair. And basically what I'm seeing here with all of you as my students in this moment is that for some strange reason, Sheldon, I'm sorry, but people just gonna ignore you. And that is just a part of your magic. I don't know how it works. Only you're gonna figure that out, buddy. But you're good at it. Look what you did in your sleep to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Mero, I'm sorry. Your life seems a little cursed. And I don't mean in like a magical item sort of way. I mean, just your entire existence seems to be a middle finger to everything else that lives. And I personally think that's awesome. I haven't met anybody like you before. That's unique. We need unique people because if we keep doing the same old, nothing changes. And we're still in the same pattern year after year after year. Miss Lockwood, I commend you for simply not even intentionally, just your innate sense to protect other people. Let me in the room this morning. That takes guts to admit when you need help, even if you don't intend to. I'm proud of all of you. So yes, this is fucked up. I have no idea what the hell this thing is on the floor. This is something completely new to me. But that's awesome. That's amazing. And I can't wait to discover more of it with you all. If you'll Sheldon, have me as your teacher.
Sheldon, what happened in your dream?
Well, it's very inspiring. Being able to protect myself, I think, is... Yeah, I mean, I didn't know I did that. Obviously, your classes have been paying off, Thorn. So in my dream, I remember I dreamt of a furnace. When I woke up, I tried to write it down in my dream journal, but I couldn't get it right, and I went back to sleep. And the next thing I remember, I was in the walls. But as you know, in the furnace, someone was watching. Something that didn't have eyes. Hmm. A flickering place.
Mr. Wilson, in your past, any furnace-related dreams? Any, what was it, whispering voices, Sheldon? Any whispering voices through vents or air ducts or pipes or anything?
Yeah, like all the time.
Well, there we
you
go.
You guys don't hear that?
No.
No.
No, no, no. Very interesting.
I thought it was because it was like a magical college that there would be like magical vents, you know? So it'd just be
No. If you ever hear voices in your head, if you ever hear voices in your head, get help. That's always no one should be hearing
voices. It didn't sound like they're coming from my head. They were coming from like vents and walls and furnaces and the dark flames and all that good stuff.
You do often wake up screaming about flames.
Blanket on his back and he stands up real slow and he walks over to you, Meryl, and he's like, I'm with you, man. I'm so sorry. And he reaches out to shake your hand.
I go to shake his hand.
Was a setup. No, I'm just kidding. As you shake his hand.
I mean, I was ready for it.
Symbol on your wrist reacts to the magic that is still left lingering inside of Sheldon. And it triggers a vision in your mind. And you get a glimpse of this furnace. It looks like arcane energy. And as you're looking at it, it looks like it's buried deep somewhere. There's no windows, no light, just rock. And it's throbbing with trapped energy. And something inside of it is moving.
Throbbing.
And you hear a voice that you can only imagine Sheldon's been suffering with all morning that just says, you are bound to it. You will burn or you will awaken. And then he releases his hand and he's like, I'm not bound to nothing. I'm not bound to nothing.
Sheldon, come here, darling. Come here. Come in for a cuddle.
And he cuddles up into you with his rustly blanket. He's like, oh.
All right, Mr. Wilson, if you could tell me if any magic happened in that handshake, I don't know what happened, but your both eyes kind of glossed over for a little bit. So we can only assume good data.
I don't know why they would attack Sheldon, but they are bound to it. We are bound to it. I am bound to it. Someone's bound to something. They never really say what it is. Something down in the dark depths, no windows, no grass, like a lighthouse or I don't know how else you would describe one of them. Maybe. You can't see anything. There's like very, very dark, damp, moist.
Was it an actual furnace?
Really? Well, is the furnace in the basement? Is there demons living in the furnace in your basement?
Well, okay, so if I remember right, and I can actually, you can ask me if I can remember, I would say, Thorne,
you've probably never seen it. You've never been down there, but as a teacher, you can assume. I mean, something's keeping the college warm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, if I remember right, there was about 1,000 years ago, there was like a deal with an archdevil and a few of the other creatures of flame in, oh God, what was that? Like the...
Meryl, do you want a visual description of what you saw? And then you can explain it to... Yeah, so it's a furnace, but it's not like a machine, like what you see. Like, not entirely. It was like a massive ironclad, like, structure that's kind of fused into the earth itself, like the top and the bottom. And it was surrounded by these pulsing chains that are made of, like, stone and arcane fire. And the chains are bolted into the floor and they connect to the furnace itself. And the furnace probably, you know, it beats like a red hot heartbeat, you know, white hot and then black. Like there's a big metal grate on it with just fire that's burning on the inside.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it's a furnace, not like a machine. It's like a building on the top.
All right. So we have a couple of options here. We'll you know, no bad ideas in the group. This is for everyone. Sheldon, you too. Mm. All right.
Sheldon's like, I think I'm actually done with this. I want to go get lunch in the Grand Hall. I'll see you guys there.
All right. Just be careful for any lingering effects that may or may not cause scary visions if you're in public.
Okay. Then Sheldon disappears.
Really advise against that, but you know, they got to learn. All right. So to you two then. A couple of options. Either one, there is an ancient and dark being that is trapped inside the furnace who has been slowly calling out to Marrow to release it and or be a part of it, because maybe possibly it is like some like weird, like, you know, you're a vessel or like its manifestation on the outside plane, and therefore it's trying to use you as basically a part of it. And once you connect with it, you're going to like, and something will happen. So that's one possibility. Number two, it's just a trickster demon in general that's just already like picking up on your bad vibe and is just trying to find an easy way out. It could also just literally be like indigestion. It sounds crazy, but trust me, I've seen it do some crazy things before to people. And lastly, have you made any like major enemies, like your like arch foe? Do you have an arch foe?
I fear just existence was my arch foe at this point.
No one named though. Like someone's like, my name is Rigathar and I hate you and we are mortal enemies. Nothing like that.
Maybe not in like a physical form, but I definitely felt like something's been out to get me my entire life.
Yeah, then that crosses off the last thing. So yeah, it's definitely one of the earlier things, I think, personally, if we're spitballing.
So why don't you just escort us to the building that has like the really big chains coming out of it that are like on fire.
That's potentially a problem. No, I have no idea, students.
You know that it's definitely underneath the school someplace. You don't know if it's next to Hexworth's office or nothing like that, no.
Talking, while they're talking back and forth, I'm going to approach the circle on the floor, and I want to use brains and magic to see if I can discern where this, who cast this on the floor, like who cast it or just where its info? Origin comes from.
I like that a lot. Roll me, we'll call it DC 12. A little difficult, but not too bad.
Oh, a lot difficult.
It's only a 5. How many adversity tokens do you have?
Oh, wait.
Oh, I should have taken one before. I have technically 4 now.
Hold on. Mm. What were you rolling?
Brains. Rolling for brains, yes.
All right, I am going to help.
It was a GC of 12.
Plus 9 to whatever you rolled. Nice.
5 plus 9, that's a 13.
All right.
14, sorry. 14,
I'm in mid-conversation, I just kind of look over and just kind of like nod. Like, I'm just like, it's like guidance, but I don't even realize it. It's just...
Nice. So, Tilly, as you're looking at this thing, you can't discern who made it. You have no idea that, but you do look at it, and not only do you remember it, you know, being on Mero's wrist, but you've also seen this same mark carved into a statue of an owl's perch nearby the dining hall. And you swear you've seen it in other places around the campus, but you can't remember where.
Excuse me, Professor Scoutmaster.
Yes, Tilly.
This symbol is at the bottom of one of the owl statues near the dining hall. You know, where Sheldon is currently going.
Where Sheldon just went. God dang it, Sheldon. Well, I guess, and you know, he has that. Yeah, he just literally walked into basically a trap. It's going to activate when he walks by because it still has the residual magic. Everyone knows it takes 12 hours for magic dream stuff to wear off. He's going to walk past it. Something's going to happen and open up, and he's just going to be like, oh, where do I go? Because I'm Sheldon.
You three collectively realize what you've just done. You've sent Sheldon down somewhere where there's possible evil symbols and energy. So you three together rush out your door and across to the dorms on your way. And at this point, your high guidance is kind of fading away, Thorn, but you can see a little bit of a fire trail on the ground. Just a little bit.
Listen, I can run quite fast. Because Forrest, you know, I'm...
Just... Forest.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to bound ahead. I can actually run faster than human feet or bike.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. You want to make me a brawn check? Difficulty 6.
Not a flight check.
Oh, flight. Okay. We'll do flight. That's fine.
Zooming.
Oh, it's only a 4. You want to spend adversity tokens?
God damn. Yes.
Okay. You only got to spend 2.
Can I do it to roll again?
No, just spend them to +1. And you can click it in chat.
All right.
There you go.
1, 2.
There it is. All right. You sprint in front of everyone else. Thank you for clicking that through. As you're sprinting, you can hear your friends behind you, you know, kind of slowly pacing through the grass now out here in the quad and getting over to the Great Hall. And you run into these large wooden doors through the huge castle entrance and start running down this hallway. This hallway just has huge roofs and huge archways, just completely made of awesome marble stone. We haven't really explained this area yet, so I'll give you a little bit of descriptions. On the walls, there are huge paintings with like beautiful oak frames and moving paintings all inside of them of people that are talking to you as you're running past. Some of them like, "Oi, Tilly, where are you after?" The other one's like, "Hey, let her go. She's got somewhere to be." And you're just like running through this hallway. And
Sheldon!
When you reach the Great Hall, you can already hear some chaos as you're approaching. And you run right past the owl perch that had the symbol on it. And the owl is not there. The owl is gone. You make direct eye contact with the symbol that was there. You were right. And as you push the doors open, the Great Hall is in chaos. The food tables are bare. You can see that some of the enchantments are failing as the floating candles are beginning to fall from the sky. Students are grumbling and professors are arguing. And you can hear owl statues in here. They're like yelling random nonsense. It doesn't really make sense. They're like, "Hoo-hoo, breakfast is delayed. Or is it canceled? We forgot." And a different one's like, "Hoo-hoo, no food. It's not our fault." Another one says, "Hoo-hoo, the headmaster, he ate it all."
I'd like to push my way through the crowd to the epitome of chaos, because I'm assuming that's where I'm going to find Sheldon. I'm going to be calling out for him the whole time.
Nice. You're like, Sheldon. And
Sheldon!
I want you to roll me a brains to see if you could see him in the crowd. This is just a brains skill. We're counting this as perception. We're going to be DC 10.
Good God, what are my rolls today?
It's a 1. So you do not see Sheldon, but you're standing on the, take an adversity token, by the way, but you're standing on the table, looking around, trying to find him. And as you are, your friends come in through the doors, the two large doors. You can see them. And just before they enter, there's a flash of light and Headmaster Brimstone is now just standing on a table. He's wearing a robe that's backwards. So like the open side is at his back. He's got no pants on and he's he's got a bowl on his head and he's eating another bowl of fruit. And he's like, "They took all the pudding. The pudding is gone. Where is the pudding?" And then as you step inside of the Great Hall, Mero, along with Scoutmaster Wildthorn, the symbol on your arm lights up and you feel this energy that just like channels as you step into the Great Hall. And the chandelier above cracks. It begins falling, but it freezes midair as the headmaster holds up his wand and stops the giant chandelier from killing everybody. And then a red light glows and a fissure opens in the ground. And you hear a single owl that yells, "Furnace breach! Furnace breach! Imminent! Imminent!"
Headmaster.
Yes?
If you could protect the students up here, this is actually part of my special seminar that I'm actually doing right now. I believe that me and Mr. Wilson and Miss Lockwood and potentially Sheldon can go down and get this resolved pretty quickly. We will be
resolved.
We will go. Yep.
And he just like, he's still holding his wand. He appears right next to you, his cheek on your cheek. You can feel his unshaven face. And he says, "Oh, you think you actually saved my granddaughter? Think back, Thorn. I'm no idiot. I need you here. We need fresh blood, Thorn. We need someone to think new. Start new. Things are happening, Thorn.
Trust no one.
And he vanishes and he's like, "Aha, the pudding! The pudding is gone!"
Yes, headmaster. I'm gonna go in the fissure.
The fissure? Okay. Yeah, you say that, but Mero, do you do anything? Do you want to take an action?
Can I, like, try to, like, understand what the fuck is happening going on in my body? I feel like I'm magical. Is it like a grit? What would I roll that?
Yeah, you can roll me a grit check. Yeah. Difficulty.
I got a 6.
It's your body. Difficulty of 4. I'm going to make it really easy because you know. I mean, like, you look down at your hands and you can see this energy. And as you look up, you can almost see, like, hidden symbols all around in the Great Hall that are, like, connected to you. And you begin to realize that Sheldon entered the Great Hall with a little bit of residual energy and started this thing. But then when you got here, it's now started to implode. And everything's going crazy. And as you look up, the owls start freaking out again. One of them says, "Alert! Hoo-hoo! Missing food! Maybe sign of apocalypse!" And another one flies over your head. "Everyone remain calm, unless you're not calm, in which case, panic is authorized." And then as Wildthorn says, "I'm going in the fissure!" Headmaster goes, "No, don't do that. We must gather our resources." And then suddenly the ground rumbles violently. Just like it has before. And it knocks goblets over, causing floating tables to crash down to the ground. And the Great Hall chandelier finally falls again. And he's still grabbing it, suspended by crackling energy. And the fissure opens along the stone floor, glowing faintly with reddish orange firelight from below.
Can I lean over to Mero and be like, "And Mr. Wilson, how are we feeling?"
"We're feeling hot, Professor Wildthorn. And maybe it's time to cool off. I want to use my wand and then, like, just kind of, like, want to cool off the fissure by, like, just, like, fighting it with, like, ice magic."
Badass. Like, make me a bronze magic roll. Just sick.
Ask you a question real quick. Are you using a wand?
I'm using a wand.
Man, I was going to help you, but you're using a wand. Damn.
You got a 9, which isn't good enough. But as you reel back and go to cast, you feel someone at your side. And you look to your right, and it's Professor Hexworth. And she also has her wand out. And she is also with you, casting this ice magic. And your beams are connecting and hitting the ground. And I'm going to roll a d20 for her. That's a 4,
which makes
it over a 12. So you guys together are now crossing streams, and the fissure is beginning to, like, settle. Like, and the chandelier gets set down, and the ice just covers the whole ground. This place almost turns into, like, a fucking skating rink. And you guys pull your beams back, and Professor Hexworth looks at Wildthorn with, like, disdain. She's like, "You see, wands are important,
Wildthorn." I sneeze, and I accidentally cast, like, a fireball on the... oops. Oh God, I sneezed. Guys.
Okay, I want brawn magic. Brawn magic. Yeah, difficulty. A sneeze. Oof. You've cast this before, so not too hard, but at least 14. Brawn magic 14.
Is it two?
You got a two. So you sneeze, and a little bit of flame comes out of your nose, but it's not a full-on fireball. You could take an adversity token, and she looks at you, and she goes, "Try again, Wildthorn." She stands up on the table. She's like, "Students, please return to your dorms. For now, the Great Hall is off limits. Everyone return. We must figure out what happened here on this day." And all the students that were scared begin exiting.
I will say, if Meryl looks over at Wildthorn, they look mad.
Meryl doesn't look at Wildthorn. Meryl is actually going around to all the lit up different runes around the room and is like writing them down.
Nice. Like how many you're finding, exactly where they were and stuff like that?
Yeah. Trying to see if I can decipher Scrabble.
They're all the same exact symbol, but you can write down like the positioning and how many you find. Okay. Right. I would say there's 10
how
in
many
here.
Do I find?
10. Do you tell anybody about this?
I would tell Tilly. I'd definitely be like, "So Tilly, pretty crazy that all the there's like runes around the room, like lit up. What do you take from that?"
"I don't see them."
"How could you not see them?" And I'm gonna like clearly point to one that's like right on the wall next to me. Nice. Like this one.
What's it's it lit up. Like?
You can see them, Tilly. You can see
them. I can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if this is one of those things that was just in Marrow's head. So what do they look like?
They're like runes with six little triangles.
Lit up.
Okay. Yeah, well, that tells me that they're not green. What color are they?
Black.
All right. Yeah, that I've never seen black glow before, but that's concerning.
Well, that's because you see in hues of green. It's fine. It's a black tent.
Who told you dealing are colorblind? We keep that closely guarded.
All right, students, return to your dorm.
You said that your favorite color was green.
Return
Come
to your
on,
dorm.
Class, we need to go and take you to your dorm. Please follow me.
It's not safe.
Yes. It's not safe.
I'm still going to be feverish. I'm still standing on a table, but I am feverishly looking around to see if I can see Sheldon.
Okay. Well, sure. Roll me brains. That's a four. So you can only assume that he left with a big crowd of students as they left.
No, I can only assume he fell into the fucking floor. But okay.
Let's go, students.
All right.
You heard the professor.
Thorn, take your students back to their dorms. We have much work to do.
Yes, of course, professor.
Thanks, Professor Hexworth, for, like, really saving our butts out there. To be honest, I think you're probably the best, like, teacher in the school, Mrs. Hexworth, and I really hope, like, you can teach me more about magic.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilson. I do appreciate that. I can teach you the fundamentals and how they are to help keep the school safe. Have you ever considered maybe taking a time-traveling magicology class?
Time-traveling magicology class. I think if there was ever going to be a teacher for that, you would be the best.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, yes.
Unfortunately, smoke is actually billowing out of Scoutmaster Wildthorn's ears. It's just, I'm not trying to do anything. It's just...
All right, you guys together leave Scoutmaster pissed as you step out into the hallway, and some of the paintings are like, what happened in there?
No one has ever seen me in these paintings in the, year and a half I've been in this school, ever seen me not smile, so it's weird as we walk.
Why are you not smiling?
We have to get back to the dormitories.
Do you?
I'm taking them there first, at least, to be determined if they're worth it.
Turns out Wildthorn's one of them guys that follows rules. What a dork.
Shut up, Nathaniel. Let me teach how I'm teaching.
Nathaniel, you wouldn't happen to have a secret passage in behind you, would you?
Not behind me, but I do know some folks. Why?
Yeah, there's like 10.
Oh, Thorn knows all about secret passages now, does he?
Yes, thought
he
was you a let dork. Me in last Tuesday when we went to Harold's and we had that kegger all night.
Nathaniel, which ones reach down below?
First of all, hey, dark guy, you real dark and shady over there. What's going on? You haven't said nothing. I want him to tell me what happened in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did happen in there, Mr. Wilson?
Oh.
Happened in there.
Well, it's super simple. We all walked in there after the residual magic that Sheldon brought in there, and then obviously whatever maybe happening going on with me. Maybe I've sent a lot of the runics around the room into a spiraling chaos that eventually, you know, maybe reignited the great ancient fissure or furnaces. So I created a furnace fissure in the middle of the floor. But then the greatest teacher in this school showed up and helped me.
Oh, is that Exworth? She's pretty great, isn't she? Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, Professor.
She's a dork.
Be quiet.
She's a fucking dork.
And I'm actually
gonna, like, her magic.
I'm gonna try to like silence him. Silence a painting. I'm gonna cast a silence on this painting for a second.
Why don't you roll me a charm magic? Huh?
I'm difficulty. Just casting it with
easy. The charm, yeah, charm. Mm-hmm. You just roll it. You silence his painting, and then his head pops up in the painting next to it, and he's like, "Fine, I'll be quiet."
Thank you. Are we far enough away at this point? Do I clock Hexworth near us at all as we've now, like, kind of ducked into, like, I guess a side hall?
Not yet, but you take a few steps forward and Nathaniel's following in the paintings, and he's like, "So runes, huh? What you know about runes? What do they look like?"
Okay. Well, they look like a circle with six triangles in it.
I've seen those.
They're
black.
Do you know what it means?
Yeah, kind of, but I know where a bunch of them are.
Really?
Yeah.
Could you tell us?
Sure. But it looks like your headmaster, scoutmaster over there is about to have a fucking aneurysm. Let it out.
Well, yes.
He's not a real professor anyways, so it's fine.
Mr. Wilson, guess what? Technically, I'm still hired here as a professor, which means I can fucking make your life hell. And up until this point, I've been very, very nice with you. But right now, you're testing my patience. I don't know if it's meant to be a rub against me. I don't know if it's just a mockery of the past 2 weeks of learning. But I don't know what I just saw in there was not the student that I had been training for the past 2 weeks. That's not the person that I thought was going to push the boundaries of magic and actually, I don't know, do something cool. You did the most boring thing imaginable and with a wand. What the fuck were you thinking?
Sounds like you done fucked up then, don't you?
I want to get real close to Scoutmaster's face and just like blank face. Just my entire life has been hell. Welcome to my life. Now, are you going to shut up and let's go find the root of this problem? Or are you going to constantly throw your fake credentials in all of our faces?
If you keep pushing away the people that are trying to help you, Mr. Wilson, you'll find that in the end, you really are miserable and alone.
You two are the only ones that have lived long enough.
And do you think that might be for a reason? Do you think that maybe if you actually trusted me fully, trusted Tilly, trusted the three of us to work together, we might actually solve this? Whatever the outcome may be, I don't know what your future holds, Mr. Wilson, but what I do know is that we are here together for a reason. The cosmic magical powers that just happen to be, we are here together. And either we are going to work together and trust each other, or we're going to keep secrets from each other. We're going to just constantly butt heads and we're not going to get anywhere. So either swallow your pride and maybe I can say that I'm sorry and I can say that I'm sorry if I've overstepped. I am trying to come as you as a colleague in this moment, okay? I'm trying to come at you as a mind in magic, because that's all we are at the end of the day.
I guess we're just gonna have to find the root of the curse then, there, Professor.
I really hate the name, I'm gonna be honest. Scoutmaster Wildthorn sounds so much better.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, dear lady, you ever made it with a painting?
There's a first time for everything.
Put me on the ground. Stand above me. Oh, right. Are we looking for rooms or what?
You have to give me what I want first.
Right. Sounds like a good plan. So, follow me then. And he, like, calls for a horse that comes, like, galloping, like, through all the paintings. And he jumps up on the horse and he's like, "To the first one. It's a big one. I found it. It's some evil shit around it. Let's go." Then he charges away down through the paintings.
See, a little flattery will get you everywhere. And I'm going to follow the horse.
That's because a painting wants to have its way with you, Tilly.
Maybe I want to have my way with a painting.
This school is so messed up, man.
You guys are like,
I say, Van, go for it.
Oh, hey.
Listen, did you see the muscles on Nathaniel? I've never seen a bugbear that elegant before.
Yeah, they really did.
He's a bugbear now.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's a bugbear. Okay.
You guys are walking.
I like the purple toga they put him in.
Normal walking speed. And he's on a horse, and it looks like he's going so fast, but it's like one single painting and like another painting, and he's like jumping over other people's paintings, and they're like, "Get out of the way." And you guys are just walking at like normal speed, but he's like, "Hurrah!"
are.
And he's a bugbear in a purple toga, apparently. Yeah.
Listen, I like them. I like them large and I like them hairy. It doesn't matter if they're only painted in oil.
Okay. Where are we? Here we are. You guys follow him a little while and you go to places in the school that you didn't know existed. I mean, you go directly through like herbology classes and just walk through as Professor Scoutmaster Wildthorn's just like coming through, important business, and the teachers just listen, being that he's another professor. And you guys just walk through other strange places. And eventually you get to like the backside, like awkward area of the campus. And there is this huge symbol that's been like spray painted on a wall. And it's that big circle with all of these triangles. And on the inside, there's one like final painting. And Nathaniel's in there and he's like, right around the side here, there's a big one. I suggest you start there. It could be more. I don't know. If you get lost, just call the paintings, right? And they'll call for me and I'll come back.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Yeah.
I'll meet you next Tuesday night behind the herbology lab in that painting that has the nice little fruit basket and the cute little bunnies. I'll meet you there.
The one with the frame that's got the big knobbies on it?
You know the one.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. That's a
next
good deal.
Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good to me. And as you guys step outside into this grassy area, your fire ferret jumps out of your coat onto the ground and once again begins growling and hissing at this large spray-painted symbol on the wall. And that, my friends, is where we're going to end tonight's session, unless you want to say any final things to each other before we end.
As I kind of look at them after we've made this trek, in my hand I have what looks to be, like, I guess, like a potion I grabbed from the alchemy lab. I have a pile of what would be, I guess, the equivalent of some good berries from herbology.
Nice.
I swipe a cup, like as we were passing through the classes, I would like to have grabbed things if possible.
Nice. What we could do, because you might be able to grab a lot of good things or just a couple of small things. So let's make us a dice roll so it'll determine for us.
Okay.
You can pick whatever skill you think besides charm, something like brawn or flight. Tell me
also,
how you did it.
I would like in
can
that
I do
time.
Brains? Can I brains it? Like just try to like as I'm going through, know what's important and grab it.
Nice.
Like what could benefit us.
You're a professor, so also you know what people would notice gone or not. Yeah. So we can do brains and just roll me a general roll and we'll see if you explode or not. You could also spend adversary tokens on this. You got a 14.
Got a 14.
Yeah.
I have 4 tokens. I'll
That's pretty
spend
good.
It if I need to.
So if you spend 2 tokens on that 12, you can explode and roll another
d12. Done. As I say, I can't. I don't have enough. What do you mean I spend? Okay.
Well, not giving them
what is
you.
It? Another d12?
Yeah.
Yes.
6. Okay, so that is a 22 in total. How many do you think? I mean, that's over a 20, which is really good.
So I would like to, again, I'd like to have some healing. So definitely like a potion or two of like some like instant healing for everyone so we don't have to cast magic for it. Again, from herbology, I wanted to grab either like some like, you know, quick little like nutrition boosts or something like, because usually when you cast magic, it drains a lot of calories. So you actually have to kind of stay, you know, calorie positive.
Okay.
You know, why not?
That's what happens when you don't have a spellcasting focus, right?
You
don't have
your wand. Why do you think there's owls everywhere and like food is everywhere in this school? You have to eat. You have to eat to cast magic.
Okay.
And so with that, I think that's kind of like, so grab some of that. And then also I would say I would grab like one like type of, during enchanting class, they were doing like a teleportation enchantment and I grabbed a quick like hop from, like I can take 2 other people with me and we can go one place quickly. That's the only 3 things I would say.
Okay.
And so, because I feel like those are pretty powerful OP items potentially.
Right. It's so fun though, because like in this game, you can still do all of those things just with dice rolls. So the only thing is that the potions make it to where you don't have to roll a dice. So that's the only difference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of these different things, just so they're instant casts and immediate. So that way, you know, if we're in the middle of something like sticky, we can just go or do something. And as I'm holding it, I'll just kind of look at them and go, see, sometimes titles have their perks.
Nice.
But no, the final thing that Tilly would like to do. So I do have wild speak and I can communicate with any animal species I have knowledge of. That was one of my perks that I took in the beginning. And since I've now been with the Fire Ferret for over 2 weeks, I imagine I can speak to it now.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And so I would like it? To... Well, I'd like to ask it why it's growling.
Ooh.
What does it sense? What does it know of Fishy, this?
What do you think type of voice your Fire Ferret would have? High pitch, low pitch, funny accent?
Yeah, baby.
I'm trying to think. Probably high pitch, fast. Because he's really fast Fire Ferret. Like, okay. His whole thing is speed.
Yeah. So, like, maybe like unintelligible, like ramblings, like really fast, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, why are you growling at that thing, right? And he's like, it's evil magic. It's magic. I'm not used to this magic. It's got a. I like Marrow. He's my. Yeah, okay. And he's. It's going to take Marrow from me. I can't do it. Can't do it. Get away from it.
Yes, but we need to find Sheldon.
Dude, Sheldon. Fuck Sheldon. Marrow.
We'll keep Marrow safe as well, but Sheldon you? Got taken away no, by me. This.
I keep Marrow safe. You? Dear? No.
All right. Well, Sweet Pea, it's okay. It's okay. Evil magic. We have someone with us that can help us.
Imagine he like runs over, you know, to like Marrow's feet, and he's like going around his feet and like figure eights. There's like a figure eight of like burnt grass on the ground from him just like circling around your feet. Stay away.
This fuckwit, is everything all right?
It's evil magic, is what the Fire Ferret said. They want to protect Marrow. They are actually deeply concerned that this will take Marrow away from them. And tactical insults.
Not going anywhere.
When you say that, it almost seems like Fire Ferret calms down a little bit. And you like pet him. You're like, I'm not going anywhere. And then Tilly, you hear him say, good.
You know the bond between magical creatures and their owner. It's quite strong. You know, I imagine you and your beta fish are fast friends as well. Much like me and Moxie.
The screen cuts to unique. Carl and the beta fish and they're just hanging out. And he's like, hey man, so what's going on?